What do you think the date night challenge is all about at this time of year? Not so much Easter, no. Okay, let me put it this way. In just a few days, it's going to be the 14th. What does that mean to you? Yeah, there you go. It's the day that is best known for love. St. Valentine's Day. Of course, if you lived in Chicago in the late 1920s, you might know it for something else completely different. And here it is. Yeah, not so much love there. How many feel that love is important? Come on, how many feel that love is important? Oh, yeah, of course it is. Even the Beatles sang, "All You Need Is Love." But then they broke up. So, unsurprisingly today, I want to talk about love. I believe that we as the church are to love God, to love people, and we're to do it in a way that is practical. In fact, the Bible teaches us this is exactly what we have been called to do. Love God, love people, and do it in practical ways. In the last week of Jesus' life, between his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey and his being hung on the cross, Jesus taught us many things. And one of the things I would like us to focus in on is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 40. If you have your Bibles, you can please turn to that, Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 to 40. If you don't have it, we've got it up there on the wall. I'm going to read this, and if you would please, if you're able, stand with me as I read God's word. Matthew 22, verse 35 says, "Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, how you teach us how to live, how to act, how to love. And I pray, Lord, that as we look into your word today, you would reveal yourself to us through it. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. In the days of Jesus, the Pharisees had classified over 600 laws that the people were to live by. How many here have a problem with the Ten Commandments? Can you even imagine to try what it would be like to follow 600 laws? And it was these laws that the lawyers would teach people about and would require others to uphold. Now, some of the lawyers who felt that some laws were more important than others wanted to distinguish the more important laws from the less important. And one of these lawyers came up to Jesus and asked him, "What is the greatest commandment of all? What is the number one law in the Bible?" And in answering him, Jesus quoted from the Old Testament, from Deuteronomy 6:5, and from Leviticus 19:18. In other words, Jesus said that by fulfilling the two laws of loving God and loving people, we can keep all the others. These two laws summarize both the Ten Commandments and all of the other commandments in the Old Testament. Love God, love people. When you take a look at the Ten Commandments, the first four have to do with our relationship with God. The last six have to do with our relationship with other people. Jesus said that when we truly love God and we truly love our neighbor, we will naturally keep his commandments. But too many people look at the commandments of God and say, there are just a bunch of thou shalt nots. They look at God's law as negative. It's restrictive. It's binding. What we need to do is look at God's law positively. Look at it not as thou shalt not, but look at it as thou shall. Rather than worrying about all the things we should not be doing, let's concentrate on all the things we can do to show our love for God and for others. Rather than focusing in on the negative, and how many know there's lots of negative around us, rather than focusing in on the negative, we should focus in on the positive. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 puts it this way. Finally, brethren and sistern, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what are we to do? Think on these things. Focus in on the positive. Think and do the positive. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This should be our focus. This should be our personal mission statement. Love God. Love others in practical ways. I want us to think about that for a bit. What is the most practical way we can show our love for God? Well, I believe it's in being obedient to Him. Now, some people get really uptight when you mention both God and obedience in the same sentence. But I want us to look at it realistically. The obedience I'm talking about means that when God tells us to do something, we do it. It means that we love God so much that when He asks us to do something, we do it. Yes, yeah, I want to. We do it not out of fear, thinking that if we're not obedient, God's going to get us. But obeying God out of love. If we truly love God, we will truly obey Him. John 14:21 says, He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. Look at that. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. Do we have God's commandments? Keep them. Show you love Him. 1 John 2:5 says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. 2 John 6 says, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. Well, some might think, well, isn't that a little too simple? We show God how much we love him just by obeying him. That's the beauty of it all. See, God knows us. He knows he's got to keep it simple. I mean, we're just people. In a simple way, by our simple obedience, we show God and others just how much we love him. It's not rocket science. You want to show God you love him? Obey him. But let's not confuse giving up things or sacrifice with obedience. There's a difference between giving up things, sacrificing things, and obedience. When Saul was disobedient to the word of the Lord, his sacrifice was not accepted. What did Samuel tell him? To obey? Can't hear you. To obey is better than sacrifice. When your child does something wrong, do you want him going out and picking you a posy of flowers to make up for it? Or would you just rather he obeyed you in the first place? God doesn't want our things. He wants our obedience. Micah 6, verses 6 to 8 says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Over the ages, people have tried all kinds of ways to please God, to show their love for God. But God has made his wishes clear. He wants his people to be obedient, to be just, to be merciful, to walk humbly with him. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6 says, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So that means to love God in practical ways means to ask ourselves, how will the things that I am doing show my obedience to God? Now, I'm not talking about works here, but living a mindset that seeks God first. The loving servant who wants to do his master's will. The bride seeking to please her husband out of the abundance of love she has for him. The parent loving his child, going without so that the child can have. Jesus said it this way, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And just as we are to love God in this very practical way, what's the practical way of loving God? Being obedient to what he tells us to do. In just the same way, we are to love others. Jesus said, love your neighbors as yourself. Romans 13:10 says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. How many here want to obey God? Yeah, I hope so. Why do you want to obey God? Is it so you can earn your way into heaven? No. Do we obey God so we can be good enough for God to save us? No. Do we obey God because we're afraid of him? No. We obey God out of love, out of gratitude for our free gift of salvation. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. We love God and we're obedient to God because he first loved us. We obey because we know that God's commands to us are the expression of his will for us. And we all want to do God's will, right? You know, how many times you said, God, what is your will for my life? Be obedient. But Lord, I want to know what to do. Be obedient. God's will is that we love one another. And by this, I don't mean that warm, fuzzy feeling for that special someone that Valentine's Day seems to bring about. I don't mean love as in, I love pizza. And make no mistakes, I do love pizza. By love, I mean that choosing to love someone, to care for someone, even if that someone is unlovely. To love one another is the new command that Jesus gave us in John 13:34. When we practice love, the law of love, there will be no need for other laws because love covers it all. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when confronted with this, someone asked Jesus, well, who exactly is my neighbor? How did Jesus respond to that question? Lori, do you remember? Parable, the parable, parable of the Good Samaritan, exactly. When Jesus was confronted with the question, who is my neighbor? He told him the parable of the Good Samaritan. We all know the parable of the Good Samaritan. The man was walking down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, got beat up by a bunch of thieves. A couple of high mucky mucks walked by and ignored him. And someone who was an outcast of society came and picked him up and cared for him. And Jesus asked the question, to whom was the neighbor? And they had to say, well, I guess it was the guy who cared for the guy. The answer is, your neighbor is anyone who needs your help. Your neighbor is not a matter of geography, but of opportunity. Your neighbor is not a matter of geography, but of opportunity. The question is not, who is my neighbor, but who can I be a neighbor to? James chapter 2, verse 8 calls loving one another this way, the royal law. Why would loving your neighbor be called the royal law? Well, for one thing, it was given to us by the king. Pretty simple, right? God the Father gave us the royal law in Leviticus 19:18. God the Son gave it to us and his disciples in John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you. God the Holy Spirit fills our hearts with God's love and expects us to share it with others. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The royal law is royal because it comes from royalty. But for us, a good reason why loving your neighbor can be called the royal law is because obeying it makes us feel like royalty. You see, hatred makes a person a slave, but love sets us free from selfishness and enables us to act and reign as kings and queens. Love enables us to obey the word of God and treat people as God commands us to do. So, how do we love people in practical ways? Well, you tell me. You have as many ways, and maybe even more than I do, of showing God's love that is pouring through you. Shoveling a person's driveway when they can't. Taking care of the kids when mom is sick. Visiting the lonely. You have more ways than I have of loving people in practical ways. The possibilities are endless. The opportunities are endless.